fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show on this Tuesday, May 25th. Glad that you're with me. Why don't you give me a call, 1-888-914-9149. You can also reach me via email, cale@relevantradio.com, or by Twitter. My personal handle is at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, and the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Got a really good one lined up for you today. Later on, Dave Patterson from Yes Catholic will be joining me, talk about this really cool new apostolate based on sharing your story. I can't wait for you to hear about this. Much more to come, but I wanted to start off with this. First Things Magazine has a really good piece this month for June. It's actually for the June issue, and it's about friendship in truth. Friendship in truth. It's written by one of my favorite scholars, Robert Lewis Wilkin. And I think friendship is something that is in very, very short supply in this day and age, to be sure. I mean, for some people, their greatest experience of friendships, as sad as it is watching it on television, like the sitcom Friends. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston, all those guys. But by the way, I David Schwimmer, who was the Canadian guy? I can't remember. Matthew Perry. Anyways, apparently there's going to be a Friends reunion.
Yeah, Cale. So May 27th, there's a Friends reunion.
2 days from now.
That's happening, yeah. There's a lot of excitement around it, but I'm a little skeptical.
Well, I must say, I have never really watched Friends. I've seen bits and pieces in passing. I'd never sat down and watched a whole episode. But Cyrus Simcoe, who produces here at Relevant Radio, he is very fond of saying, Friends, don't let friends watch Friends. So, for what it's worth, you can find Cyrus on Twitter.
Correct.
If you don't agree with that, you can dial up Cyrus on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter, and give him a piece of your mind if you don't like that. But I'm going to tell you what comes from the mind of Robert Lewis Wilkin on friendship in First Things Magazine this month. And he's one of my favorite scholars, by the way, of the early church. He's got some great stuff. And he penned a really good reflection on it. I want to share some of the things that he said. He says that as he's grown older, he's thought a lot more about how important friendship is in life. And he actually has compiled a bunch of quotations, famous quotes from the past on friendship. I want to share some of these with you. This one is from the English essayist William Hazlitt. I don't know if you're a fan of William Hazlitt's work, Lucas, but here's what he said. Lucas is a bit of an English scholar. William Hazlitt said, and I quote, "He will never have true friends who is afraid of making enemies," end of quote. I'm not really sure what that means. It may have something to do with truth-telling. If you're a real friend, you'll tell somebody the truth, and they may not want to hear it, and then they'll become your enemy. I don't know what this means, but he will never have true friends who is afraid of making enemies. Interesting. C.S. Lewis, of course, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Mere Christianity, so much good stuff. C.S. Lewis said, "Friendship requires being drawn apart together from the herd." From the herd. So there's something about the friendship that you have with this other person that will draw you apart away from everybody else, where the crowd is going. You've got to be willing to go against the grain, go against the current in a certain sense. Montaigne said, "Friendship is a companionable, not a gregarious beast." Cicero, who wrote a lot, he wrote a document in antiquity called On Friendship. Cicero said, "Without friendship, life is no life at all." And maybe the worst thing you can do, obviously, is put somebody into solitary confinement. That's a very harsh punishment. Nobody around. Nobody but your guardian angel, I guess. Without friendship, Cicero said, life is no life at all. And there's actually a Christian interpretation of Cicero's works that was penned by someone named Aelred of Rivaux. Aelred of Rivaux. And this document was called Spiritual Friendship. So it's kind of a spiritualizing of Cicero's work on friendship. And this document says, "Scarcely any happiness whatever can exist among mankind without friendship. Once again, Cicero, friendship improves happiness and abates misery by the doubling of our joy and the dividing of our grief. I really like that. Friendship heightens the joys of prosperity, mitigates the sorrows of adversity. A lot of people, they're not really true friends if they're not able to suffer with you. That's what compassion is all about. Compassion, being able to suffer with. When Jesus had compassion on the crowds, he shared in their suffering and in their condition, and he wanted to remedy that. He healed them, he fed them, did what was necessary. So if someone won't suffer with you, or they don't rejoice with you when things are going well, hey, I got the job, fantastic. If they're not excited for you, if they're kind of jealous, or there's often a lot of that. They're not really a true friend. What about the scriptures? Well, let's go to the Old Testament, the book of Sirach, the wisdom of Ben Sirach. Good old Ben Sirach. Here's what it says. A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He who has found one has found a treasure. A faithful friend is an elixir of life, and those who fear the Lord will find him. Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon. I don't know if Solomon actually wrote this, but the wisdom of Solomon from the Old Testament. Wisdom is an unfailing treasure. Those who find it obtain friendship with God. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, talking about this very important topic of friendship. What do you think? What do you think about this idea of a spiritual friendship? That's really important. And of course, we can't omit Shakespeare. We had a show recently. We had a lot of chatter about whether or not Shakespeare was actually a Catholic. He's kind of in hiding during the times of persecution in England. Well, here's what Shakespeare said in Sonnet number 104. Quote, "To me, fair friend, you can never be old, for as you were when first your eye I eyed, such seems your beauty still." End of quote. And there's another sonnet that he penned, Sonnet number 30. Shakespeare said, "Old woes are recalled and bemoaned anew, only to be made good by thoughts of friendship. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end." So just the past can bring up a lot of stuff, but if we remember old friendships, it can bring a lot of joy to our hearts, to be sure. And Robert Louis Wilkin talks about a friend that he had really for most of his life. He was friends with this guy for 55 years, and they first met when he was 17 years old and Robert Louis Wilkin was 16. And they basically grew up together, and he said they grew intellectually, spiritually, kind of at the same pace. He says, and I quote, "We launched our little boats on the same sea, then sailed into unknown waters. We ate dissimilar fruits, but we were nurtured on the same solid food. And when we became old, we began to contemplate the reality of death. I visited with him after he had learned that death was approaching. As we talked and reminisced, he said, 'Have you ever thought who would die first?' I had not, nor had he. He died 3 weeks later." The loss of a friend of many years brings not only absence, the loss of his presence, love, understanding, support, the invigorating tonic of his ideas. The death of a friend is a loss of self. The death of a friend is a loss of self. Why is that? Why is that? Have you ever had a friend like that? Call me, 1-888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Well, a friend is, as Wilkin says, a friend is a self that is not yourself. A friend is a self who knows and loves the self that you are and reflects your hidden worth. And then he gives the example of what a friend isn't, and that's somebody like narcissists. So we all know narcissistic people. What about the original guy, narcissist? Well, Ovid wrote about narcissists. He said, "There was a pool, limpid and silvery, where never bird nor beast nor falling branch disturbed its shining peace. When Narcissus approaches, he is so charmed that he lies down to slake his thirst. As he drinks, he saw before his eyes a form, a face, and loved with leaping heart a hope unreal, and thought the shape was real." In other words, he sees his reflection in this pool, and he just can't get enough of it. He loves it. He goes on to say, The image is my own. It is for myself. I burn with love. I fan the flames I feel. My love is myself. My riches beggar me. I'm so great. In other words, I just can't get over how awesome I am. And Caravaggio, the famous artist, has a painting of Narcissus in which he's kind of like his arms are enfolding the pool almost as if in a circle. And not only is he trying to sort of hug his own image in the pool, it's kind of a message that when you look at yourself, when you're closed in on yourself, you're kind of cut off from everything else. You're just in this little vicious circle where you're looking at yourself all the time. So this is a really interesting reflection on friendship in this month's First Things magazine, which is a great, great little journal. And, of course, they've got a good website, too, Robert Louis Wilkin. And Robert Louis Wilkin talks about something that was very commonplace apparently in the 1960s. They were called T groups. And if you've ever experienced this, I want to hear about this because this sounds odd yet also potentially very interesting. So T groups, he says, they were a form of sensitivity training. And this was really fashionable in the 1960s. 12 to 15 people would spend a night, and they were friends. They knew each other. These friends would spend a night. They'd sit in a circle on the floor, and they would just frankly talk about each other, and they would tell you what they really thought about you, unvarnished and holding nothing back. What was the point of all this? Well, the point was the way that other people view you can reveal something about who you really are, and it might be something that you're missing. And he says that the experience taught him not only about himself, but about the subtleties of human relations. And he said the young men in the group had the greatest difficulty acknowledging that something that somebody else said about them was true. And I don't know whether this is particular to young men, but no, I'm not really like that. I'm not like that. But we really can learn something from others. We all have this image in our mind of what we're really like, and maybe we're like narcissists, we're looking in the mirror. Oh, I know this person, but are you really looking at yourself objectively? Only God knows us objectively, of course. This is what St. Paul talks about in one of his letters. He says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or any human court. It doesn't matter. My ultimate judge is God. He's the only one who knows me perfectly. But we can learn something about how others see us. So I always say to people, if you want real spiritual direction, listen to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio with Josh Raymond. Then you're going to get the good stuff there. But I'm going to play amateur spiritual director with you. And I'll just say this. If you're ever tempted to think that you might be a canonizable saint, and in our sister program, The Faith Explained, we just started this brand new series, Saints in Sin City. It's all about 1 Corinthians. And in one of the first lines of that letter, St. Paul writes to them, you're called to be saints. But they're clearly not. I mean, when you read the letter, they've got huge issues. But this is what you're called to be. And this is what God wants you to be. He sees the possibilities here, but maybe you don't. I always say to people, if you think you're a canonizable saint, just before you save the date for the big ceremony where you're raised to the altars in Rome, ask your spouse, have I really attained the heights of holiness? I bet you they might have some opinions on this. If you're not married, ask your roommate or ask your good friends, ask one of your relatives. Very often, now sometimes people are biased against you, but very oftentimes people will see things that you can't. So what does this have to do with the church? What does this have to do with the early church? Well, around the same time that he was in these T groups, Robert Louis Wilkin, who's done amazing research, great writing on the early Christians, he said, you know, I was in this T group. We're all kind of going around the circle, and people are saying, here's what I really think about you. Here's some things that you might have missed about yourself. He was like, I'm doing this research on the early church. Maybe I should start thinking about the early church that way. Because the only stuff that we read about the early Christians, the first believers in Jesus, the early Catholic Church, is stuff that they wrote correcting other people's misinterpretations. Like think about St. Justin Martyr. His feast day is coming up soon on June 1st. It's also my birthday. He said... St. Justin Martyr said, I guess he's kind of patron saint of sorts. He's an apologist and explains the faith. I try to do that. Not nearly as well as them, of course. But St. Justin Martyr wrote these two, what he called, apologies. I'm sorry for being Catholic. I'm trying to explain the faith. So he wrote these to the Roman emperor, explaining what Catholics really did. Because there were all these rumors about them. They gathered together to be cannibals and eat the flesh of a baby. No. That's absolutely not true. That's a misunderstanding of the Eucharist, just a wild rumor that got out of control. Here's what really happens at Mass, and he explains it point by point. So Robert Louis Wilkins started thinking, wait a minute, we only hear about what Christians say about themselves. What did the Romans really think about them? You know what? Sometimes they say things about Christians that were actually true. And maybe the church couldn't really see this. This is how the church looked through the eyes of the pagan Romans. So he wrote a book about this called The Christians as the Romans Saw Them. And so we have to understand that when it comes to friendship, we have to be able to look at yourself with the eye of another people, of another person, of a friend. And our friends can help us to realize things about ourselves that we need to work on, and also remind us of things about ourselves that maybe we might have forgotten. He starts talking about the author Marcel Proust, who wrote this piece called Swan's Way. And he talks about how sometimes we can have these memories that pop up. And he talks about drinking tea and eating these little cakes called Petite Madeleine. And as he's drinking the tea, eating the cakes, he all of a sudden remembers something. Oh, yeah, this little tea time that I'm having here reminds me of a time I spent with a friend. Ah, yeah, that's all coming back to me now. And we've all had those experiences. You're walking down the street, a certain smell. You might walk by your favorite burger joint, and not to make you hungry, but oh, yeah, that's where I had that conversation with my friend Tim, and we talked about X, Y, and Z. We talked about music, and what a great time that was. Or you're in your old neighborhood where you grew up, and the memories come flooding back. You see the shape of a tree, anything. He mentions all this stuff, and these memories can come back. And this is what a friend does for us. A friend can unlock the past for us, things that you shared together. And time has kind of dulled the memory. And so when your friend dies, in a sense, a part of you dies as well. There's a part of you that only they know, a window into you that only they can get open, and that perishes with them. It perishes with them. St. Augustine wrote, "Time is not inert. It doesn't roll on without affecting us. Its passing has remarkable effects on the mind." Friendships change through the course of your life. You can have career changes, good times, bad times. Your character can change, hopefully for the better. You can disagree with your friend about things, and that can break a friendship. I've witnessed this happen in my own life. I have some friends that no longer speak to each other because of the fallout from the 2020 election and their differing political views. Broken friendships. That's really unfortunate. And I understand sometimes you have to take a stand on issues, but I'm always reminded of the unlikely friendship, and I've spoken about this on a previous show, between Supreme Court Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia, who are, of course, both deceased. But people were shocked to find out that the Catholic Scalia, who was very orthodox in his beliefs, and the liberal Ginsburg, they were actually like hung out together and were friends. People are like, how is this possible? How is this possible? And so it is possible to maintain these friendships even with these huge, huge differences. Same thing with marriage, by the way. Your marriage is a friendship. In fact, without friendship, you really can't have a flourishing marriage. It's something to think about. I know people that say, I don't want to be friends with my wife. She's my wife. She's not my friend. I disagree 100%. I know, Lucas, you do as well. I don't know if this is true, Producer Lucas, but in your Twitter bio, you say that you married your best friend. I don't know. Maybe it's just advertising. Is that true?
Yeah. I'd say it's true. Absolutely.
And how has that manifested for you?
Well, I mean, I think the points that you're talking about, like, it's not just the shared interests we have, like certain activities like playing music or whatever, but it's Gina helps me grow into more of who I really am by drawing me outside of myself and challenging me to grow in virtue and in holiness and in pursuing God and in that common quest for heaven and for the relationship with God. That's, you know, that draws us into a deeper love for each other. And not to get too cheesy, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that
absolutely
makes sense, but
it does. And C.S. Lewis says this about friendship. Typically, when a friendship starts, he says it goes something like this. What? You too? I thought I was the only one. Something that you've got in common. It could be a book, he says, an idea, a hobby.
You also had an angsty teen phase.
Yeah. Your love of the sitcom Friends. Oh, yeah. It's the greatest show ever. No, maybe not according to Cyrus. But But you need some sort of shared commonality. And the greatest spiritual writers of all time, including people like St. Augustine, they say, really? Genuine friendship can only exist among people of virtue, good people. You need to be a good person to have a good friendship. You can't build a friendship on vice. And I think this is something that's especially lacking in terms of male friendships. A lot of friendships between guys in this day and age, they're based on vice, not virtue. They're going out and committing crimes together or whatever, or chasing illicit relationships together, women, you know, or whatever the case may be. But they're not really looking for virtue. They're going out drinking together. I've got my drinking buddies, but they have no one to talk to. And one writer said that men are suffering from what he calls friendship deficit disorder. They don't have any real true friends. The people that they spend time with, do activities with, maybe play golf with, but they don't really have a friend that they can count on. And the best friend is someone who can actually push you forward towards the good, towards virtue. And the greatest good of all, of course, is God. This is what it's all about. God is got to be the third person in the relationship. And there's a proverb in the Bible that says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And that third strand in the relationship has to be God. I think that's just an amazing thought. It's an amazing thought. And we're gonna talk more about this after the break. We're going to be right back on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Be right back.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We've been talking about true friendship and how rare it is, how rare of a quality it is in today's world. A great article in First Things magazine. And you can, of course, find this on the website as well. It's called Friendship in Truth by Robert Louis Wilkin, a great scholar, convert to the Catholic faith, writes a lot about the early church. I really, really enjoy his stuff, and I really enjoyed his words about friendship. And just before the break, we were saying, I mentioned this biblical proverb, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And whenever I go to a wedding, sometimes I'll write that as a message for the bride and the groom, that they need to keep God entwined in the center of their marriage, and that's what will help them stay together and maintain that special friendship relationship of marriage. And of course, there's much more to it than just that. But marriage is a friendship, despite what some people want to say. And finding a friend that can help you become more holy and help get you to God, spiritual friendship is so important. As one writer put it, friendship is a stage on the way to the love of God. And Robert Louis Wilkin, in his article, talks about this friend of his who was really a lifelong friend who recently passed away. And he said, in his life, the love of God was really that thing that sustained his friendship with that guy until they got older and he passed away. It was always there. God was always present in the conversation somehow. He was always there in prayer. And Robert Louis Wilkin says, true friendship requires a third person, God, who looks on, who delights, who beckons us, directs us, and carries us beyond ourselves. And then he just ends with this quote from the medieval theologian Richard of St. Victor. And he said this, that joy is fuller when it is shared. Supreme perfection cannot be found between two persons who love each other. God is not a monad. He's not a dyad. He's a trinity. And the Holy Spirit is the love that delights in the love of the Father and the Son. Human friendship is fuller and deeper between friends who share in the sublimity of truth. So basically what he's saying is that you can't get there just with you and your friend. If your friendship is going to reach perfection, that there has to be that third person, and that's God. And of course, God himself, three persons, one God. He has that relationship in himself in the Trinity. That's wow, that's exploding my head to even think about that. But yeah, just a great article, and that's something that's sorely needed. We really need great friends to help us in this life. We're going to go to the phones right now. Mark is calling from Chicago. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Caleb. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. You're welcome. What are your thoughts on this?
Hey, you know, I'm gonna say an early happy birthday to you.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm gonna guess. You know, it sounds like you played a little basketball. I think you played college basketball, didn't you?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
I'm gonna say you sound like about 35 years old. Am I close?
You're very kind. You're very kind. You know, I don't know if this is the kind of thing where I think with guys it's a little bit different. You're not supposed to ask how old people are, but you're way off. But hey, In God we're forever young. I'll tell the people. I am who I am. I'm not going to hide myself. I'm not going to be one of these guys who uses the Grecian formula and, you know, dyes his hair. And, you know, if I go bald, I'm just going to shave it. I'm not going to bother with the toupee or anything. It's overrated. So I'm going to be turning 48 this year. How about that?
48. Wow, you really sound like a young man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, and I'll tell you, the reason I called, you know, when you talked about friendship, you know, I think the trouble is that with social media, you know, you got all this, you know, thousands of friends, thousands of friends, and people really don't know what a true friend is really about. You know, someone.
That's right.
I've got a friend of mine, and he goes. We go to Mass quite a bit during the week, and he, out of the goodness of his heart, to another guy, who his brother needed a kidney transplant.
Wow.
And he volunteered, didn't even know the brother, but he volunteered to give his kidney, you know.
Wow, that's incredible.
And
talk about giving of yourself,
Wow. But I was going to say that it really is true, though. You know, the faith is such a common denominator, and, you know, and you can disagree with people, and you can really have conversations that are meaningful. You know, and they're not going to come over and burn your house down. You know? But faith is a real common denominator. And I tell you, most of my life, I was pretty much a hack, you know. So, you know, later on in my life, I figured it out a little bit, but still working at it. But your show, I really enjoy it. And your love of St. Paul, it really shows through. You're always quoting him and... He really talk about a guy that figured it out late in his life. You know,
Well, thanks a lot, Mark. Hey, Mark. I mean, Paul was friends with Mark, right? They hung out and they had a falling out, but then they reconciled. That's a good thing. It's friendship, right? Got to forgive one another.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Mark, I appreciate you a lot. Thanks for your kind words and for your call. And yeah, we're all figuring it out together, right? And better later than not at all, right? So let's try to make the best of it.
You know, the problem with the left is they don't know how to forgive.
Well, I think it's probably true of a lot of folks, to be sure, and it's something that we've got to get better at as a society, and certainly in our personal relationships too, to be more like God that way. Hey, Mark, I appreciate the call so much. That was Mark calling from Chicago. You have a good one. Call anytime, Mark. Appreciate that call. Hey, listen, speaking of calls, we've got someone on the line right now that I want to introduce to you. And speaking of friendship, now we know the greatest friend of all is the friend, with a capital T and a capital F, and that is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants nothing but the best for us. And sometimes when we've met this friend, we want to tell people about it. And this guy's a friend of mine, and he's got an incredible ministry called Yes Catholic, and it's all about talking about our friendship with Jesus Christ. His name is David Patterson. He's joining me from his home in Toronto. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show. Hey. How are you, my man?
Not too bad. Thank you so much for having me. And listen, before we dive in, I got to share a quick story that happened just a couple of months ago.
Okay.
I was at the grocery store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wear like my Benedictine cross and my miraculous medal. And so one of the cashiers turns out to be like this devout Roman Catholic, right? And so she sees the miraculous medal. We start talking every time I go to the grocery store. But randomly, she just kind of says, "Hey, have you ever heard of Cale Clark?" And I was like, "Yes, I have." And she's like, "He's awesome." She's from Australia. So she's like, "He's awesome, you know?" And she's like, "You got to hear his resurrection series. It's so solid." And I was like, "Okay, I'll be sure to tell him." So it's just amazing, you know?
Oh, well, she was probably like, "Hey, you actually know this guy?" Yeah. I know
him. Such a small world.
Yeah, believe me, pray for him. He needs work. He needs work. That is for sure. Wow, that's such a funny story. Well, thanks for mentioning that, Dave.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you never know. And it's great to have you on the show. And I want to ask you about this ministry that you have called Yes Catholic. You can find it on the web, yescatholic.com. Give me a sense of why you feel God called you to start this, and what is it all about?
Yeah, I'm going to have to back up a little bit to being in grade 7, actually. There's a story behind it where I was a reader at Mass, and there was another young girl that was reading as well. And she had a light to her. You know, she was so full of joy. But fast forward into high school, I ended up leaving the church. And when I got into university, I got a call from my mom. And she had told me that Megan, who was the young woman at church who read with me, she was in a tragic car accident and she died.
My goodness.
You know, I wasn't living my faith at all at that time, and I just felt so numb. I didn't know how to process death, you know, because it wasn't on my radar. I was living the party lifestyle and completely in sin, right? And so I spent that entire day just feeling numb. But fast forward, I ended up coming home to the church when I was 21 years old, and 6 months later was called to work in youth ministry. And it's interesting because through youth ministry, I had to actually go back to my old high school where I had denied Christ and stand before every single teacher and say that I believe in Jesus, and I'm inviting the entire school to basically come and check this out. And out of every class that I visited in that school, one kid showed up to our youth group. His name was Matthew.
And of all those kids you spoke to, one kid
all those
shows
kids,
up.
There was one. Amen to that. And it's significant. So he walks into the youth ministry, and I said, "Hey, how's it going? You know, I'm kind of an extrovert, so I don't know if I scare some reserved kids sometimes," but he was really quiet. But every week he just kept showing up, and there was a Net Ministries retreat that was going to be taking place. And so I said, "Matthew, you know, you should go. It's going to be great." And he goes, "Oh, I got lacrosse practice. I got football practice. I can't go." Right. And I said, "Oh, that's too bad." But man, the Holy Spirit just put on my heart right before we went on the retreat. I just felt called to send a last call email. And what I didn't realize was that that morning, his mom received an email that said lacrosse practice canceled. Next email that came in was football practice canceled. And then my email, about 5 seconds later, said last call retreat. And his mom said, "Do you want to go?" And he said, "You know what? I got nothing else to do." And the Lord just busted down those walls, right? And so he's on this retreat. It was all about God's love. And at the end of the retreat, they had an open mic where they said, "If anything kind of stood out to you, just come up to the front and share," kind of like an open mic time, right? And to my surprise, you know, he was reserved, showing up at youth group every single week. But to my surprise, he stands up and he heads for that microphone. And there were like 50 teens there. I was thinking, you have barely talked to me, right? You're going to speak in front of 50 teens. And he holds the microphone and he said, "I have never spoken about this before. But when I was 10 years old, my sister was in a tragic car accident and she died." And immediately I was like, "Oh my gosh, Megan." You know, the one that I read with at Mass.
And that was your friend.
That was my friend. And so her younger brother was on retreat with me. And he said, "I locked myself in my room for years playing video games because I just thought God was over there." And he was like, "I was so angry, you know." But he said, "Today I learned that God loves me, that he is present." And he said, "I just want to thank you all so much because I feel like my heart is beating again for the first time."
Wow.
That Christmas, his dad emailed me and basically said, "I want to thank you so much because we finally have our son back after all these years." And crazy thing as well is he ended up going on a business trip, his father, to Mexico, and he had no idea why, but he just felt called to purchase this image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. And when he got to Canada, he basically said, "This is for Patterson. Like, I have to give this to David Patterson." And so he gifted me with this image of Our Lady Guadalupe. Fast forward 7 years. Okay. I'm on retreat with a whole nother group of students. I'm working as a chaplaincy leader at a Catholic high school. And there was one kid in my group who was just angry. You know, like, you could just tell he did not want to be there. Every time I'd ask a question, he'd be like, "I don't even know why I'm here," you know? And so I basically said, I just felt called to kind of talk to him one-on-one, man-to-man, right? And I just said, "Let's talk at the end of the night when all the activities are done." So we just had a man-to-man talk. I sat down and just the Holy Spirit put on my heart, share the story of Matthew. Share Matthew's story. And so I said to him, I said, "Listen, I don't know what you're going through, man, but I just feel called to share the story." And so I shared the exact same story I just shared with you. And at the end, I kind of said, so why are you so angry? And he looked at me and he said, I can't believe you just told me that story. And I said, why? And he said, because when I was 10 years old, my sister died. And he said, I am so angry at God. Man, when he said that to me, I was blown away. You know, like I had no idea. But the next day, as the retreat continued, there was confession. And he kind of calls me over and says, can you pray for me that I'll make my peace with God? And I said, yeah, man. And so I just bowed my head and I just said, Lord, I just pray you give him the grace to come home, you know? And immediately when I said amen, that door to the confessional opened. He's like, I'm going in. I was like, yeah, buddy, you know, receive that mercy. And he walked out with tears in his eyes and he basically said, I made my peace with God. And I was just overwhelmed by the fact that, you know, I didn't give him a Bible study. I didn't give him a catechism lesson. And I think those things are incredibly important. But I just told a story from 7 years ago of this young kid who came to faith, encountering the Lord, and it changed his life forever. And it caused him to come home. And I was just overwhelmed by the ripple effect of the gospel. And so every morning on my way to work, it's kind of tied with my own personal testimony. But every morning when I get into my car, I basically say, Jesus, I say yes to you. I give you permission. Whoever you want me to talk to today, I just say yes. Right? I'm on my way to work a couple days later after this retreat took place. And on my heart was yes, Catholic. And yes, when it hit me, I actually kind of said aloud, I was like, oh God, you know, I like it. That's got a ring to it. You know? But fast forward, even like a week later from there, I was driving again, just saying my yes. And then I just felt the Lord's presence and I heard real people, real stories, all grace. And what I didn't even realize is I had pulled off to the side to record that idea. And I said, for yes, Catholic. But what I didn't realize until months later was that that idea hit me on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
So it's, it all ties together.
It all ties together. You think that God's hand's all over it, you know?
Yeah, he's in the details, to be sure. My guest is David Patterson, the founder of Yes Catholic. That is an absolutely incredible story. Everything that had to happen for all of that to come true. Matthew, that one kid, and of course, yeah, one kid shows up. You talk to hundreds of teenagers, one guy decides to come to the retreat. And of course, Jesus said, you know, one soul is worth more than the entire world. So, hey, it's a success. It's a small one. But everything that had to happen for him to get there, the practice is being canceled. He says, I've got nothing better to do. He shows up. His heart is touched. And that leads to a domino effect. And all these graces start pouring out, all because of the power of a story, really. And that's really what your ministry is all about. If you have a question for David Patterson, you want to talk to him about this, 1-888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break right now on the Cale Clark Show, but we'll be back with more about why your story matters and how it can help other people say yes to Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm joined today by David Patterson, the founder of YesCatholic.com. It's a really cool ministry about saying yes to Jesus Christ and sharing that story with others. So talk to me a little bit, David, about the website. And there are stories from people on that site from all over the world. And what are some of the ones that have stood out to you recently?
Yeah, it's incredible just the amount of stories that inspire me on a regular basis. And it's really cool, you know, because we started out where when I felt called to kind of start this ministry of going live on Instagram and asking people to share their story live, I just started with my friends locally in Toronto, but then people started messaging saying, hey, can I share my story? And so it just spread where we got guests now from Australia, the UK, Ireland, Rome. Like it's completely, it's become international, which is really, really cool. And every story is so unique, but what I love hearing are people who actually are living such ordinary lives. And it's interesting because you have conversations with people mm-hmm. and they're like, I don't know if my story is that great. But then when they start mm-hmm. talking, it's incredible just how God is all over their story. You know, that he is in the details.
Yeah.
And that he is really moving in incredible ways.
Well, yeah, and I think a great example was that story that you told off the top about these two kids and how the Lord kind of knit everything together in the nitty-gritty details. And I think sometimes people are tempted to say, if I don't have an incredible testimony of conversion, for example, I heard this testimony from this guy named John Pridmore. I don't know if you've heard this one. It's called From Gangland to Promised Land. This guy was a gang mm-hmm. member. He used to carry around brass knuckles, beat people up, yeah. and he's now an evangelist. And people sort of say, well, my story isn't that interesting, so why bother sharing it? What would you say to those people?
Why bother sharing it? I think that every person's story is unique, and it's going to relate to someone in a very special way. You know, someone mm-hmm. who might maybe battle addiction. Mm-hmm. We just had a guest, Dylan Thorman from Arizona. He just shared his journey through battling addictions and whatnot, huh. and how his grandmother basically said, I need you to promise me that you're gonna be faithful for all of your cousins to be that witness for, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just had this profound encounter with the Lord. And the amount of messages I've received from people saying, thank you so much for sharing that story, because mm-hmm. I'm struggling with addiction. And it might not necessarily be alcohol, right?
Right.
But there's still common elements that we're yeah. struggling with. And the Lord can move through stories. It really brings the walls down, I find. And that's how Jesus spoke as well, right? He shared stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, he told a lot of parables. And I think the other thing that's great about the so-called sharing your story approach is that nobody could really argue with it either. I mean, if you try to have a dialectical argument with somebody about, in fact, somebody called in. I think we lost the call, but somebody, I was speaking about the early church, and someone called in saying there was no Catholic Church. Well, we could talk about the facts. Yeah, there was, and here's why. Yada yada yada. But sometimes when we're having discussions with people, we're kind of playing verbal chess in a certain sense. We're thinking about mm-hmm. our next move. If he says this, then I'm going to respond with that. But when someone is telling their story, here's what Jesus has done in my life, what's the other person going to say? No, that didn't happen. I mean, no, I'm sharing a personal story. So it's tough to argue against. And I think stories can move people in a way that other approaches can't. I'm not saying there isn't a place for that sort of stuff, but I think that's what's so powerful about what you're doing.
Absolutely. And I think especially, you know, the idea hit me in December right before COVID-19 hit. And the fact that many people are in isolation, it's an opportunity to really just bring the universal church together and to celebrate the fact that in the midst of despair and loneliness, that God is actually raising up a generation of saints for him. You can see that very clearly.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things we've been talking about. We're all called to be saints. Shameless plug for The Faith Explained. We're talking about St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, Saints in Sin City. We're surrounded by a culture that is trying to make us anything but saints. But the uniqueness, too, and that's another thing about saints. We're all, you know, hopefully we're all living saints. The saints are all unique. They're, sinners are all so dreadfully alike, as one writer says. And so I think that's what's so great about the story approach, too, is that you see, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, the uniqueness of each life, the journeys, the interior reefs of the interior life, as St. Jose Maria Escrivá said, you know, there's so much complexity to one individual soul and its journey. And it's like a field full of different flowers. They're all so different, and everything brings out just a truth that is going to grab that individual person who it resonates with. As you mentioned earlier, you'll read someone's story and say, yeah, that hits me. That's me. I can relate to that. And we need to know that there are other people with us on the journey. So David, tell me a little bit more about your journey. Tell me about your wife, Alex, your family life, becoming a dad recently. How has that changed you and your relationship with God?
That's right. Yeah, just to share a little bit about my journey. When I was raised Catholic, obviously, as I kind of alluded to, but when I was 7 years old, my parents separated. And it broke me in a lot of different ways, man. And when I got into high school, you know, my mom was one of these really faithful Catholic ladies, but I really wanted to see, is anyone else really believing in it, you know? And I really didn't see too many people who did. And so I kind of just thought that, you know, I'll just get involved into the drinking and the partying and whatnot. And that's what I did. And through the drinking and whatnot, I became really conceited and kind of told my mom at that time that I was really done with the faith. And that was mainly on Fridays and Saturdays. But fast forward into university, it escalated. And it's interesting you brought up Sin City, because what's interesting is that my buddies, when I was in university, I was in the business program, they always want to go to Sin City, the club, on Sundays.
Oh, okay. That's what it was called. All right. I thought you were going to say they wanted me to go to Vegas or something, but
No. But this club where I was at university was actually called Sin City, and the Catholic in me, you know, I was like, okay, no, I'm not going to Mass anymore. I know I'm not living this faith, but going to Sin City in replacement on a Sunday, like, that's taking things to a whole nother ball game. You know what I mean? But you know how you can kind of have that battle within? I would just tell that little voice, be quiet, and I would go. And but all through this voice. Time, exactly. Yep, but how often do we just try to silence it out, you know? And so all through this time, my mom was actually praying for me. She was going to every Catholic prayer warrior she knew, and she was saying, my son is so lost, I don't even know if he believes in God anymore. And I was really going down a really dark path, just very broken. Yeah, I had the masks up that, you know, I was the party guy and whatnot, but I was just so broken. And it was my third year of university when my mom basically found out about a Catholic retreat that was going to be happening. And so she calls me at university and she's like, you should go. And I was like, Mom, like, I don't know if I believe half of what the Catholic Church believes, you know, but she was persistent, man. She was not giving up. And so she just called me day after day after day. I finally answered the phone. I was like, Mom, if you stop bugging me, I will go. And she's like, okay. You know, she's so happy. But we were on our way to this retreat and my buddies found out. And I started getting these text messages being like, dude, I heard you're going to this weird retreat. I'll come pick you up. Let's go party. Let's get drunk, right? And I'm outside this retreat center where the retreat's going to be taking place. And I'm yelling at my mom in the parking lot. I'm swearing at her. She's crying. And then all of a sudden, she got this strength over her. And she said, David, you know exactly who doesn't want you here. And I said, what are you talking about? Wow. You know, I was so critical and whatnot. And she basically says, the devil wants to destroy you. And it really stopped me in my tracks in that moment, because I had not heard of that in years. You know, it kind of freaked me out, to be honest. And right when she said that, I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around and there was a Catholic priest standing there and he was wearing a cowboy hat. Yeah.
That's a sight you expect to see.
And it's so interesting, Cale, because I gloss over this part of my story so fast, but I was interviewed on a podcast recently and somebody actually asked me, they said, what was the deal with the cowboy hat? When I was in grade 11, my grandfather would pick me up every single day from school rather than walk in an hour and a half, and he would ask me how my day was. And he was just such an image of fatherhood, and he always wore a cowboy hat.
Wow. Interesting.
And so what's so interesting is I didn't even realize this element. And yeah, and as you share your story, there's like this unraveling too, right? Where the Lord sent this image of fatherhood to me that I would understand. And this priest, man, he met me and he loved me, even though I was being conceited and being a jerk. And he just looked me right in the eyes, man. And he said, son, you need to stay.
Wow. And that really began your journey home. That is so incredible. We're running out of time here, but what a compelling story. I'm sure this is on your website as well. I'm talking on the Cale Clark Show with David Patterson, who's the founder of YesCatholic.com. You're going to want to check that out and see all the uplifting spiritual stories there about how God is working in the nitty-gritty of people's individual lives. And I want you to keep going, but I think they're just going to have to go to the website to find you. But how can they find you? Obviously, there's YesCatholic.com. And where else on the web, social media, can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so visit yescatholic.com. Make sure you subscribe there. We also have a YouTube channel. Follow on Instagram at yes.catholic. That's where we go live every single Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern to interview a new guest to share their story. And basically, people answer questions live during the Instagram as well. Also, we have a Facebook page, so definitely follow, subscribe, all those things. It would be great to have you part of it.
David, I just want to say, my producer Lucas Holt just whispered in my ear, we've linked to this on our Twitter account, on the show account at Cale Clark Show. So check that out. You can get all the information about Yes Catholic and maybe help other people and yourself to say yes to Jesus just a little bit more. David Patterson, it's great to run you down, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks very much for taking the time. And hey, you got to have me on there sometime. Come on. No, I know.
Absolutely.
Standing invite. I know. Well, listen, I'm glad you're able to join me today. And thanks for all the great work that you're doing for the kingdom. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
All right, you got it, David. That was David Patterson from Yes Catholic. And wow, Lucas Holt, what do you think, man? This idea of friendship with God, friendship with one another, helping us get to God. We talked about a lot of stuff today.
It's been a jam-packed show. Man, I'm still blown away by David's story. Like, how cool is that?
That's unreal.
It's amazing how God works in the details of our lives, you know?
Yeah, the image of the cowboy hat and something we were talking about with friendship. Sometimes you'll catch an image, you'll smell a smell or see a sight, and it'll just take you back. And that kind of took him back to the fatherhood of his youth and helped him get back to God the Father. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Things that only God himself would know.
Yeah.
He reveals to us, and then we're just like, oh man, we have that pierced heart moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of grace.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in eternity, seeing all these little, what we think are coincidences, but are really, of course, God incidences, you know, where he's putting his fingerprints on things to get us back to him. Well, hope you'll come back tomorrow for more of the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Check out The Faith Explained as well, 12:30 Central, or you can check the podcast for our new scripture series on 1 Corinthians, Saints and Sin City. David Patterson was my guest. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alog was working the phones. Timmy's up next. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.